All right, it's Wednesday morning. We are about a month into the school year. Every school has those kids that, for whatever reason, are disruptive in the classroom. Joining us right now from St. Clair County, Risa, behavior specialist Joe Zima. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Paul.
You always used to just discount those kids as the troublemakers, but we're beginning to learn more about what's behind those troubles and those disruptions, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the way the science and neurology specifically is emerging, we're taking a much, much closer look at why we're seeing some of those troubles. You know, why did we flip the desk? Why did we yell at our teacher? And what we're finding specifically in our county through some of the referrals we've received over the last 3 years, kids exposed to a number of traumatic events or stressful events growing up, something that we're referring to as ACEs or adverse childhood experiences.
You're now involving local physicians in looking into this too, aren't you?
Yeah, and this is backed by over 20 years of research. Back in the late 90s, Dr. Folletti and Dr. Anda did some research into this acronym called ACEs, or Adverse Childhood Experiences. And what we mean when we say ACEs are kids that have been exposed to things like divorce, parental incarceration, substance abuse in the home, exposure to mental illness, sexual or emotional abuse. These are all adverse or stressful events for children. And what they found through that study was kids that received more than one, specifically kids that had four or more of these ACEs or exposure to these stressful events, were more likely to have learning and behavioral problems. Actually, they found that they were 32% higher or 32 times more likely to have learning and behavior problems in school. And the other interesting part, and why we're trying to really tie this into our local pediatricians, the risk for some of the major diseases that we see in our country, pulmonary disease, diabetes, depression, your chances of being exposed to or incurring these diseases really go up in correlation to the number of adverse events you've experienced in childhood or throughout life.
So what do we do with these kids? Because I know it's stressful for teachers, for their classmates, and for the kids themselves, obviously, that that have outbursts and problems. So how do you deal with it?
Well, you deal with it in a number of ways. So two goals that we have right now at RISA and why we're trying to reach out to our local pediatricians. And actually, Dr. Dowden at Lighthouse Family Medicine up here in Fort Gratiot is going to be our first pilot site. What they're going to do, one of those two goals they're going to help support us with is start looking at how do we do these ACEs screeners. So ACEs are actually 10 stressful events, and physicians can screen for those at wellness checks. So we're going to start to work and collaborate along with Dr. Annette Mercantot through the St. Clair County Health Department. Her and myself and Dr. Dowden's office are going to look at launching these screeners at wellness checks. So that's the first thing we can do is look at, you know, trying to identify the students that have been exposed. And then the second thing we're going to try to do is have a referral system directly from the pediatricians to us at St. Clair RISA so that we can reach out to the local schools, because the interventions and the things we do to help help these kids be successful in the classroom are pretty counterintuitive and very different from the way that we've managed behavior in the past.
Really? So it's not just putting them in the corner, because that used to be you know, what you do with the disruptive kids. Go sit out in the hall, go sit in the corner, don't join the rest of the class.
Right. And what we're saying, and what we originally started with, as we look deeper into this, what's happening in the neurology of these students, when you're exposed to four or more of these stressful events in childhood, your brain is much more likely to be wired into what we call this fight or flight mechanism. So for these kids exposed to stressful events, and especially the kids that are exposed over and over again, they get an extra dose of what we call toxic stress. So this fight or flight mechanism kicks on quicker for them, and it stays on longer. So if you've ever almost been in an accident and you've experienced kind of that rapid heart rate, know, that buzz of adrenaline, that's the fight or flight syndrome. We all have that. For kids exposed to lots of stress growing up, that system kicks on and stays on longer. And it might kick on when they perceive a threat. It might not actually be an actual viable threat in the environment, but it kicks on. And when that happens, we see those typical behaviors running from the classroom, flipping the desk. We might be swearing out loud. But what's actually driving that is a neurological process. So it's not sitting in the corner. It's not motivation systems. It's not sticker charts. You can't motivate someone's brain to mellow out, if you will. So we're talking about doing sensory interventions, helping kids become aware of what's happening in their body, helping them to learn breathing exercises, different ways to basically settle down their nervous system. So our old way of thinking with sticker charts and motivation systems really doesn't help, because we're talking about using sensory interventions to help their nervous system settle down.
And this could help turn school from a scary place into a very safe place then for a lot of these kids.
And that's really our first goal in school, is to help schools become what we call trauma-informed. So understand what's happening in the neurology of these young people. And once they do that, the goal is really, how do we make this a much safer environment? And not just safer physically, but safer in terms of how do we get their brains to help settle down, be relaxed, be in what we call that optimal state of learning. Mm-hmm. It's both beneficial for kids exposed to stress, but all kids. We really are talking about a sensory process that we've learned a lot about through these stressful events.
And a great lesson for the other kids, too, that instead of, and certainly you're not rewarding bad behavior, but when you see bad behavior, you look for the root of it and you try to, include that that child and help them through that that problem.
Yeah, we have a teacher right now that was very open to helping the other students in the classroom learn about anxiety and the neurology, and we have some really great, fifth grade level, kid-friendly mm-hmm. books that we would use. So we had a referral on a student who was doing just that. His nervous system would spike. Mm-hmm. He might flip a desk. He might run out of the room. And one of the interventions the teacher started running was using a storybook to teach the other kids in the classroom what's happening inside his brain. What is the fight or flight syndrome? Why does this take place? And most importantly, why should the other kids not be scared? This is what's going on for this young man. This is how we can help him. And this is how we're going to keep all of us safe. And what we found is it was beneficial for the student we were working with who was having the anxiety issues and the spike in the fight or flight. But it was really helpful for the other kids because they just wanted to know what was going on. Yeah. And kids in general are just so resilient. When we talk to them, when we help them understand that it's not scary, that it's something medical that's happening, those kids are so supportive, and they really start to help the students we're working with kind of walk through this and figure it out.
Yeah, we could take a cue from them sometimes, couldn't we?
I think we could. I think the biggest thing we've learned from the students is as we talk about this, as we get this out in the open, as we answer their questions, they're fine with it. They mm-hmm. they kind of go right on with their work, and some of them even work to help and build connections with the students that are struggling with this spike in the fight or flight mechanism.
That's neat. It's fascinating stuff, really, when you get into it.
It is fascinating. It's it's definitely a shift in mindset too.
Yeah,
looking from how we typically quote unquote manage behavior to what's happening in the brains of
why
our students.
Is it happening?
And we have the science is really caught up with the media to help us understand what is happening mm-hmm. in the brains, and that's part of what we're doing at RESA too. We have a number of trainings coming up to help folks understand the neurology of trauma. Dr. Mercantaw and Jessica Turner at RESA have gone through what's called the Michigan ACEs mm-hmm. initiative, so they're also available to help do trainings in schools, family court, really throughout the community to understand what is this idea of ACEs, what are these stressful events, and why is it so important.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Joe, thanks for coming in this morning.
I appreciate it, Paul.
Your time.
Thank you.